भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो 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 भगवते वासुदेवाय
नारायण नमस्कृत्य
नारायण नमस्कृत्य
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
देवीं सरस्वती व्यासं
ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. Today we continue to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 25, entitled The Glories of Ananta Dev. Text number 4. This is prose based verse, we will word to word meaning. Yesya
Apum
Angri Kamala
of Lotus Feet
Yugala
of the Pair
Aruna Vishada Brilliant Pink
Naksha
of the Nails Manisanda
like gems
Mandaleshu
on the round surfaces
Ahipatayaha
Adi Bataya,
the leaders of the snakes,
Saha with
Sattva Rishabhi,
Sattva Shriya,
the best of the devotees, Ekanta Bhakti Yogena, with unalloyed devotional service.
Avana Mantaha,
offering obeisances. Swavadanani,
their own faces.
Parishpurat,
glittering.
Kundala,
of the earrings.
Prabha, by the effulgence.
Mandita,
decorated.
Gandhastalani,
whose cheeks.
Ati Manoharani.
Very beautiful.
Pramudita Manasa.
Their minds refreshed. Hello.
Indeed.
Vilokayanti.
They see.
Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The pink, transparent toenails of the Lord's Lotus Feet are exactly like valuable gems polished to a mirror finish. When the unalloyed devotees and the leaders of the snakes offer their obeisances to Lord Sankarsana with great devotion, they become very joyful upon seeing their own beautiful faces reflected in His toenails. Their cheeks are decorated with glittering earrings, and the beauty of their faces is extremely pleasing to see.
Umanyatamirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurum militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha Sri Chaitanya Mahavishtam sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swatadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamasya Sri Rupam Sarvajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sanjeevam Sadvaitam Savarutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamasya He Krishna Karma Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Tatta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabham Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchagata Rupyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Rama Hare.
Here the beauty of the toenails of Lord Manasadeva is being elaborated upon. This reminds me of the famous verse from the third canto of Kapiladeva section where he gives instructions on how the yogi has to meditate on different parts of the Lord's body, and he starts with the feet. So the Lord's toenails are brilliantly prominent and they resemble the light of the moon. If a yogi looks upon the marks of the Lord's sole and on the blazing brilliance of his nails, then he can be freed from the darkness of ignorance in the material existence. Sanchintaye Bhagavatas Charanaravindam Vajrambusa Vajat Saroga Lanchanatyam Uttunga Rakta Vilasan Nakachakra Balam Joshnadivi Bhagatam Mahat Hridayanta Karam. The darkness in the heart of living entity can be removed by meditating upon the feet of the Lord and the light that's emanating from His toenails. So Prabhupada writes in the purport to that verse 3.8.21. In other words, one has to fix his mind first on the lotus feet of the Lord if he wants to be freed from the darkness of ignorance in material existence. We also see this word vilokayanti, and they see. Other significant verses or word-to-word meanings that struck me are the ekanta bhakti yogena, with unalloyed devotional service. So this is the whole subject matter of the book Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in which the Lord is described as the Vishaya, and He is described as the source of all the mellows or the rasas, and how He enchants through His beauty the living beings, non-living beings, where it is described that He is able to make the moving objects stun and non-moving objects start to move. And so that's the power of Lord Krishna and power of His devotion. And the devotion, the power of the devotion that His devotees exhibit towards Him. The other word-to-word meaning is avana mantaha, offering obeisances. So one of the angas is to offer obeisances to the Lord. Then seeing the feet of the Lord, seeing the effulgence, the minds of the devotees become refreshed. That's what is said here. Pramudita Mansa. Their minds refreshed. So, read the next verse. What do I mean? 5:25:5. Please repeat. Yasya, of whom? Eva, certainly. He, indeed. Nagaraja Kumaraya.
Nagaraja Kumaraya.
The unmarried princes of the serpent kings.
Unmarried princes of the serpent kings.
Ashishaha. Blessings. Ashasanaha. Hoping for. Charu, beautiful. Angavalaya, on the sphere of his body.
Vilasita,
cleaning.
Vishada,
spotless.
Vipula,
long.
Dhavala,
white. Subhaga,
indicating good fortune.
Ruchira,
beautiful.
Ruja,
on his arms.
Rajatastambheshu,
like columns of silver.
Aguru, of aloe. Chandana,
of sandalwood.
Kumkuma,
of saffron.
Panka, from the pulp.
Anulepena,
with an ointment.
Avalimpamana,
smearing.
Tat abhimarsana,
by contact with his limbs.
Anmeta,
agitated.
Hridaya,
in their heart.
Makaradvaja,
Cupid.
Avesha,
due to the entrance.
Ruchira,
very beautiful.
Lalita,
delicate.
Smita,
who's smiling.
Tat,
of him.
Anuraga,
of attachment.
Mada,
by the intoxication.
Mudita,
delighted.
Mada,
due to intoxication with kindness.
Vigurnita,
rolling.
Aruna,
pink.
Karuna avaloka,
glancing with kindness.
Nayana,
eyes.
Vadana,
and face.
With face.
Aravindam,
like lotus flowers.
Savridam, with bashfulness. Kila,
indeed.
Vilokayanti,
they see.
Translation of purport by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Lord Ananta's arms are attractively long, beautifully decorated with bangles and completely spiritual. They are white and so they appear like silver columns. When the beautiful princesses of the serpent kings, hoping for the Lord's auspicious blessing, smear his arms with aguru pulp, sandal pulp and kumkuma, the touch of his limbs awakens lusty desires within them. Understanding their minds, the Lord looks at the princesses with a merciful smile and they become bashful, realizing that he knows their desires. Then they smile beautifully and look upon the Lord's lotus face, which is beautified by reddish eyes rolling slightly from intoxication and delighted by love for his devotees. Purport. When males and females touch each other's bodies, their lusty desires naturally awaken. It appears from this verse that there are similar sensations in spiritual bodies. Both Lord Ananta and the women giving him pleasure had spiritual bodies. Thus all sensations originally exist in the spiritual body. This is confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra, Janmadyasya Itaha. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura has commented in this connection that the word Adi means Adi Rasa, the original lusty feeling which is born from the Supreme. However, spiritual lust and material lust are as completely different as gold and iron. Only when one is very highly elevated in spiritual realization, only one who is very highly elevated in spiritual realization can understand the lusty feelings exchanged between Radha and Krishna or between Krishna and the damsels of Braja. Therefore, unless one is very experienced and advanced in spiritual realization, he is forbidden to discuss the lusty feelings of Krishna and the gopis. However, if one is a sincere and pure devotee, the material lust in his heart is completely vanquished as he discusses the lusty feelings between the gopis and Krishna, and he makes quick progress in spiritual life. So here also we see the word vilokayanti. From Samhita we have this verse, premanchana churita bhakti vilochanena. Those whose eyes are anointed with salve of love, they can see the form of the Lord. Santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. Which form of the Lord? The Shama Sundara form of the Lord. In their heart. So here, the loving exchange between Lord Anantadev and his devotees is not happening. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes that Lord Ananta has simultaneously a snake form and a human form. Now, both the Lord and the devotees who are described here, they are having spiritual bodies. That's how Prabhupada puts it in the purport, that they have spiritual bodies. The key concepts that are coming up in this purport are about spiritual body, then the origin of pure lust, then spiritual enjoyment through spiritual senses, and then the experiencing those spiritual sensations. That's discussed in one hand, and then it's contrasted with the material body, material lust, material sensations, and material enjoyment. So we will discuss these subject matters today. Adopting points from Her Grace Urmila Mataji's presentation on this topic. Now, the original spiritual rasa, that's what Prabhupada quotes in the purport, it is originating from the Lord. He quotes the Bhagavatam first verse, Janmanyasyateta. In that purport itself, Prabhupada says, sex life is not unreal. Its reality is experienced in the spiritual world. We know the fact that the material world is a reflection. So whatever is highest in the spiritual world is considered abominable here. So therefore Prabhupada writes, continues in the purport, the material sex life is but a perverted reflection of the original fact. So we first establish that we cannot deny the existence of lust. So it's established through Bhagavatam, the way Srila Prabhupada quotes Janmanyasya Yataha, and by quoting Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on 1.1.1, where Acharya writes that just as we refer Bhimasena as Bhima, the Adi Rasa is said as Adi. And that source is coming from the Lord, because he is the source of all mellows. As mentioned earlier, he is the Akila Rasa Amrita Murti, the embodiment of all the mellows. Now there are further references from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 8.138. The desire for enjoyment is present both in Krishna and his far and parcels, the living entities. In the spiritual world, such desires are also spiritual. So this further establishes the fact that Both the living entities have the desire to enjoy, and the Lord also has the desire to enjoy. If you consider the field of activities as the spiritual world, then you have permanent, everlasting enjoyment through the loving exchange between the Lord and His devotees. And that is done in a pure form, and it is done forever. Therefore, Krishna is called as the Cupid in the spiritual world. The Prabhupada writes in that Chaitanya Charitamrita purport that there is no material inebriety in such desire. That's the key difference. There is no material contamination in such a spiritual lust existing in the spiritual world. And therefore, we see the three deities of Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. So Krishna is the Kamadev as Madan Mohan, the deity who establishes a relationship, who clearly tells who we are, who the Lord is, and Sambandha Jnana is established. Then he also carries the bow with flowers, and bow and arrow made of flowers. He is Lord Govinda, and he is the one who accepts the devotional service. And finally, Krishna, in the form of Gopi Jana Vallabha, who is the life and soul of all the gopis, he is the goal. So that's how we see the Sambandha deity as Madan Mohan, then the Abhideya deity as Govinda Dev, and the Prayojana deity as Gopinath, Gopi Jana Vallabha. And prayers are offered to the Lord in the form of these three deities. Now, if you consider the material world as a field of activity, this earth is exhibited in this material world in a perverted reflection, as we saw earlier. Now, the living entity has a material body in the material world, and therefore the pure sex desire is exhibited through the contaminated material body. And therefore, because the body is temporary, the enjoyment that is experienced through the material body, that's also temporary. It will last for a few minutes and then it later vanishes. And that's how Prabhupada begins this purport to this verse, that when the male and female touch each other's body, their lusty desires naturally awaken. And then when the lust is fulfilled, it doesn't last for long, and then it lasts for a few minutes and later it vanishes. So that's the material situation. And the activity of sex is considered abominable in the material world, as we saw, because it's a reflection. Whatever is topmost in the spiritual is considered abominable here. Now, having established that the source of the sex desire is spiritual, and then living entities and the Lord have a natural, pure desire, and that desire is spiritual, and we also establish that the reflection is abominable. Because the desire is originating from the spiritual world, there is no chance of we killing or denying or destroying the desires. The lusty desires cannot be killed, destroyed or denied. Now, if you attempt to do that, it will manifest through anger, because anger is considered as the brother of lust. If suppressed, lust will also exhibit through hard-heartedness, and finally it may even result in fall down. Prabhupada writes in the teachings of Lord Kapila, that section, that the one cannot think that he can kill the desires. It's not possible. As long as you are living, you are not a dead man, you will have desires. Now, having established that since denial and killing of the desires is not possible, now how do jivas who are in this material world, how can they experience the pure mellow of Adi Rasa, which is there in the spiritual world? How can jivas enjoy that? For that we need to look a little deeper into the Adi Rasa itself. The source of the pleasure giving energy, that's also an energy of the Lord, who is none other than Srimati Radharani herself, that loving Shakti. And the Lord enjoys through her, and she gives pleasure to the Lord, and there is an exchange of mellows between them. Now, it is that same energy, if we take shelter of that energy, and it is that same energy that will nourish the jivas in the material world also. If we dotate our desires in the Lord's service, that's exactly what the daughters of the serpent kings, that's what they are doing. They are rendering service to the Lord, and service is being rendered by applying sandalwood, aguru, and all that mixture to the Lord's body. And that's done for His pleasure, and by seeing the smile in His face and seeing His pleasure, they are also experiencing pleasure. And this is the way how the jivas can enjoy the Adi Rasa, even though they are situated in this material world. So we saw one method, which is direct service to the Lord. What are the other ways? Is by connecting the energy of the Lord. Because if you look at the material things around us, the potency, the attractiveness, that's the Lord, and the form of it is given by Mother Lakshmi. So when we engage Mother Lakshmi in the Lord's service, or when we unite the energy of the Lord with the Lord and we take part in it, that is how the living entities enjoy the Adi Rasa while they are situated in this material world. So Prabhupada gives the example of Hanumanji, how he used anger in the service of the Lord. He fought for Lord Ram with the only purpose of uniting Mother Sita with Lord Ram. So that was the mentality, and all his energy was focused on that. And that's an example that we must follow, where we focus our energy, we focus our desires, we focus our actions, attitude, all of that in the direction of uniting the Lord's energy with Him. Now we have understood the principle of purifying the desires. How do we do that? Now, when the philosophy has to be put into practice, we must keep in mind that the purification, even though we know the solution, the purification takes time. It is a gradual process. So while we are in this material body, and we are trying to convert our material lust to the spiritual lust, it takes time. It's a gradual process. Prabhupada says in his lecture of Srimad Bhagavatam 3.26.27 in Bombay, Kama Krishna Karam Arpane. Kama Krishna Karam Arpane. At the present moment, we are desiring how to become happy in this material world. This is Kama. So, this brain taxation, if you engage in Krishna service, how to spread Krishna consciousness, how to convince people about Krishna, how to take them to Krishna's service, Sarva Dharmam Parityajya, then that is how you purify your lust. If you want to enjoy this material world, you still need to tax your brains. And then the amount of enjoyment that you get is temporary, chapala sukha. It doesn't last forever. Anyway, you're going to tax your brain. Prabhupada are just suggesting that you tax your brain to engage yourself in Krishna service, to bring others into Krishna service and engage them also in Krishna service. So according to this guideline, we will start to put the principles that we learn about purifying ourselves according to the bodily situation that we are in and according to the varna and ashrama we are in. These principles have to be applied. This transformation of material lust to spiritual lust, it is done according to your situation in the varnashrama through the process of sacrifice. Because every ashrama is aimed for spiritual elevation, spiritual purification, and to situate ourselves in spiritual consciousness. Therefore, the process of sacrifice is recommended, whereby you are able to aim your activities at transcendence, even though you are materially situated, and thereby gradually get purified. And the biggest entanglement of living entity, as described in the earlier verse purport, that Hridaya Granthi, which is formed by when male and female unite, that can be purified and removed. If you have the option of not to get entangled, you can have that option, but still one has to deal with the material lust. Because this sexual energy, the origin is also from the Lord, and when we see the Virat Rupa description, we see how the source of vitality is also coming from the Lord. We cannot deny it, but according to our situation in the Varnashrama, we use them accordingly. So those in the renounced order, how do they use their sexual energy? As described earlier, when the propagation of the institution or the propagation of Krishna consciousness is taken as a bigger goal, then family ties are given up. At the same time, you are serving a bigger family. The whole world is considered as your family, and you tax your brains to come up with various projects, methods of joining the living entities, connecting them to the Guru Parampara. Through that brain taxation, your vital energy is getting utilized. Because this vital energy is meant to move up and reach all the way up to the brain, nourish you to think better, to act better with energy so that you can engage in this propagation by connecting others, by absorbing yourself in the spiritual sound, swadhyaya, abhyasam, chaiva, the austerity of speech. Not only in that, then reflecting on it, applying it in your own life, because when knowledge, when it is not reflected upon or applied in your life, it does not turn into realization. So the application part is there. Through that, you gain the, you experience spiritual bliss, the adirasa. Now, those who are in the grihastha ashram, they also have to deal with this lust. And for them, they have the license of producing Krishna conscious children. And that's how they expand their family with the purified consciousness. They attract pure souls into their family and they interact with each other, not just as bodies, but as considering each one as a soul. And as Prabhupada writes in 1.8.42, they connect to each other in relation to the super soul. This is in contrast to how the current purport begins. Seeing male and female, seeing each other as body and trying to enjoy each other's bodies. And interestingly, it is Lord Sankarsana who brings the object and the person who is desiring to enjoy the object. He is the one who brings them, to bring them together. But the solution that the Prabhupada gives is that in the grihastha ashram, not to view each other as a source of enjoyment, but see each other as a part and parcel of the Lord, connect to them through the super soul. And within family life, you have the aspect of sacrifice, where you need to raise a family, you have to make a living. That whole process is considered as a sacrifice with the only objective of giving pleasure to the Lord. In the 18th chapter of Gita, Prabhupada writes that grihasthas who go and work in factories or other places to earn money with this only objective, to please the Lord, and they give some donation to propagating Krishna conscious activities, they are as good as those in the renounced order. So purification is happening through the form of sacrifice, through the samskaras. You invite pure living beings to your family, you take care of them, and that's further sacrifice. You also, through the grihastha ashram, it's a powerful way of connecting others to Krishna consciousness. It's also a powerful way, as Prabhupada writes in the, I think it's either in the 13th chapter purport, that affection towards family members is natural. And one, if he is in family life, if he is able to read the scriptures, chant Hare Krishna, engage in the kirtan, the morning and the evening, such a person does not have to enter the renounced order also. He is fully Krishna conscious. So by being and living examples, you will attract others also to Krishna consciousness. And thereby, by connecting others to the path, you experience the Adi Rasa. The same points that we discussed, connecting through scriptures, relishing and sharing scriptures to others. The same applies to the Grihastha Ashram also. And the Grihasthas not only expand their families, they also expand the bigger family of bringing more people to the Krishna Consciousness Movement. So thereby, they are also purifying their material lust while they are situated in the material body. So thus we saw how the sannyas order, the vanaprastha order, the grihastha order and the brahmacharya order, all of them are meant to purify the sex desire, and how the process applies a little differently for each of them. Now, irrespective of which order you are in, because we are dealing with a powerful force which is binding us, we always have to pray to the Lord to help us overcome this biggest entanglement. So one of the prayers that and meditation that came to my mind is again from the Lord Kapila section, what should we meditate upon to overcome our sex desire? That is in 3:28:32. Very similar to what we are discussing today. A yogi should similarly meditate on the most benevolent smile of Lord Hari, a smile which for all those who bow to him dries away the ocean of tears caused by intense grief. The yogi should also meditate on the Lord's arched eyebrows, which are manifested by his internal potency, in order to charm the sex god for the good of the sages. Hasam hare avanata akila loka tibra sokashu sagara visoshana atyudaram sammohanaya chitam nijamaya yasya bhumandalam unikrute magaratvajasya. In the last paragraph to that purport, Prabhupada writes, it is stated in this verse that the charming eyebrows of the Lord are so fascinating that they cause one to forget the charms of sense attraction. The conditioned souls are shackled to material existence because they are captivated by the charms of sense gratification, especially sex life. The sex god is Magaradvaja. The charming brows of the Supreme Personality of Godhead protect the sages and devotees from being charmed by material lust and sex attraction. Yamunacharya, the great Acharya, said that ever since he had seen the charming pastimes of the Lord, the charms of sex life had become abominable for him, and the mere thought of sex enjoyment would cause him to spit and turn his face. Yadavadi Amacheta Krishna Padavinde Nava Nava Rasa Dhamni Dayantum Rantum Asid Tatavati Bhatta Nari Sangame Smadhyamani Bhavati Mukha Vikara Sushtu Mishti Manachar. Thus, if one wants to be aloof from sex attraction, he must see the charming smile and fascinating eyebrows of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here we are seeing, meditating on the different limbs of the Lord, start off with the feet, going all the way up to the smiling face and the eyebrows and the eyes to protect the sages. And that's how the Lord is not only having a loving exchange with his devotees, but through that he is also protecting them from the biggest danger, Muni Krute Magara Vajasya. Another prayer that came to my mind is the prayers of Lord Shiva to the Chaturvyuha, and he prays to all of them. The one that I want to focus on here is Sankarsana. Because as we know, Chaturvyuha, Vasudeva, Lord Vasudeva is in charge of consciousness, Lord Sankarsana is in charge of false ego, Aniruddha, Lord Aniruddha is in charge of the mind, and Lord Pradyumna is for the intelligence. So Lord Shiva prays, Sankarsanaya Sukshmaya Durantaya Antakaya Cha Namo Vishva Prabodaya Pradyumnaya Antaratmane. So Lord Sankarsana is considered as the master of integration and disintegration also. Because it is through the false ego that you pick up the consciousness and then you think that you can enjoy in this material world. And as discussed in the previous verses, when a person has that mentality, that is given by Lord Sankarsana. And here Lord Shiva is praying that please purify my ego so that I can be fixed in my real ego of your servant. Real ego as your servant. Jivera Swarupa Krishna Nityadas. So Lord Shiva is praying, Rudra is praying to Lord Sankarsana to purify his ego so that he can be situated in his real ego, which is the servant of the Lord. Would like to conclude with this prayer that we recite daily to the Lord when the curtains open. Venu Kananta Maravinda Dalaya Daksham Bhagavatam Samasitambuddha Sundarangam Kanda Pakoti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham Govinda Madhi Purusham Taham Bhajami. Even though we get used to singing this one, if one is able to consciously pray, fervently pray, intensely pray to the Lord, when we sing, recite these prayers, which is what we recite daily, his flute, his playing, and Venu Kanantam Aravinda Daya Dalaya Daksham. His eyes are like lotus petals, which is what we are meant to meditate upon, as we established earlier. And his head is bereft of peacock feather. His figure is tinged with the hue of blue clouds. His expert in playing is flute, and his unique loudliness charms millions of cupids. Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham. So it is this Kandarpa who is the material cupid. To overcome him, we are surrendering and connecting to the internal potency, getting a higher taste to the Adi Rasa, and surrendering to the Akhila Rasamrita Murti, Lord Krishna, who is the actual spiritual cupid, the original Kamadeva. I'll leave it there and see if there are any comments, questions, corrections.
Yes. Prabhu, just that in Gopi Gita also mentioned that Prabhupada, just a comment that in Gopi Gita has also mentioned how the smile of the Lord smashes the false pride of the devotees. So it's obvious that it's used in two different contexts.
Yeah, okay. Grand Rajasthan Bhagavatam ki jai.